G'day, my name's Toby. I'm a Christian. I'm out today talking to people about Jesus. I was just wondering, what do you think about Jesus? Do you know much about him? Not really? You haven't really heard much about Jesus at all? What do I think about Jesus? Well, I believe what the Bible tells us, that Jesus is God's son. And that he came to the world because God had created a world and he'd made people to rule the world, but we'd stuffed it up. We'd made a mess of it. We hadn't ruled the world properly under God, and instead we'd tried to rule it our own way and made a big mess. And not only that, but because God's in charge, he's not going to let us keep making a mess of his world, but he says that we die. The Bible's very clear on that. We die because we sin. It says in the part of the Bible called Hebrews, it says, man is destined to die once, and after that, face judgment. But that's where Jesus comes in. God loves us, and he doesn't want us all just to be facing judgment, to have to die. So he sent his son Jesus, and Jesus lived perfectly under God's rule. And he always did what God wanted. And yet, Jesus died. The one who didn't deserve it died. He was crucified. The Bible says, not because for his sins, but he died for others, so that people like you and I can be forgiven. And not only that, he didn't stay dead, but he rose again. God raised him on high to live forever and to offer life to anyone who would have it, anyone who would receive it. And he's coming back to judge. He's coming back to judge. That's what I believe about Jesus. What do you think about that? I don't know if you've had an experience like that. We've got a chance to talk about Jesus, and you've got an opportunity, and you get to just summarize the whole thing in one go. Maybe it's doing walk up to complete strangers, to randoms. Maybe it's when you're door knocking, or maybe it's talking to people at school. I had quite a few opportunities like that when I was at university, and just introducing myself to strangers, taking that opportunity. But I wonder if ever you've done it just like I did, and you've conveyed the information, the easy stuff, the bits we know about the gospel. The Bible tells us this. And then held off at the last minute. The last part of the gospel, the full picture of what we believe. The challenge. Now, it's pretty easy to leave that off the end. It's pretty easy. Now, I think it's the part we feel most awkward about, least comfortable. But it's necessary. It's an important part of the gospel that the people we're talking to desperately need to understand. We're going to think about that today. We're going to think about the challenge of the gospel and how we talk about that, how we do it in a way that's helpful. And we're going to do it in three steps. First step is defending commitment. And then we're going to defend choice. And then defending challenge. That's where we're going, if you want a heads up. But the first step is defending commitment. Because Jesus calls for the commitment. Have a look with me back in John chapter 3, verse 18. This is what he said. Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, a Pharisee, and he tells him, whoever believes in him, that's the Son, Jesus is talking about himself, is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they haven't believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So Jesus is putting it out there. He's saying people need to respond. They either have to believe in him or not. There's options. It comes up again in verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has life, eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Jesus calls for people to respond, believe or reject. It's not just info. He doesn't just tell people about him, about himself. It's not just like, hey, I'm Jesus, I save people and I rise from the dead. Here's some facts. Take it or leave it. He calls people to make a decision about it. Are you going to believe or reject it? This is hard for us to talk to about people because this is the point where it goes from being info that's out there to getting personal. Talking not just about this thing that happened, but talking about you and your life. And that's confronting for us. That's awkward for us, I think. In our society, the kind of the postmodern way of thinking says that we're really good at saying lots of different things and sharing different things we believe and listening to people that hear different things on us, and that's our kind of modern way. That's great. But the great taboo is going this next step and saying, actually, you need to respond to this. This affects you. This truth that I'm saying has a bearing on you and your life. That's the great sin of postmodernism. But it's important because that's reality. There are truths that affect us, that have a bearing on our lives in different ways. Some of them are simple things like cars going down the road. We need to wait till there's a gap before we cross. That's simple. And just like that, Jesus is coming back. He's returning. And people need to be aware of that. But more importantly, facts have a huge bearing on us in relationships. We can't carry on a relationship where two people have just completely different ideas of reality and what's going on. That doesn't work. And when we're talking about Jesus, Jesus is a person that we're ultimately talking about relationship with. It doesn't matter what ideas I think up about him, because if I want to have a relationship with him, I've got to respond to him the reality of who he is. Jesus is a person. So the gospel is always personal. It's about relationship. And it requires response. It requires commitment. Sometimes we think, if we can make the commitment seem easier, if we can lower the bar, it makes it easier for people to accept. But you know what? Jesus does the exact opposite. When explaining what it means for people to follow him, he doesn't kind of go, oh, it's really easy. I've paved the way for you. You just got to come after me and there's eternal life at the end. He's not sweet-talking it. Jesus sets the bar really high when he talks about what it means to be committed to him. Have a listen to this from Luke 14, verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brother and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." This is what it means to be committed to Jesus. It means to be committed to Jesus before your parents, before your children and spouse, before brothers and sisters and friends and other relationships. It means to be committed to Jesus even before you're committed to your own life. To be willing to take up your cross. That's to do the execution march. To live as though you're dead. That's how high the bar is for following Jesus. It's not trying to make it easy. He's saying it costs everything. It's full commitment. Now, when we share this with people, when we explain the gospel, we need to be honest about this. We don't need to go into all the details, and probably hate your mum and dad isn't a great leading line. But we don't want to pretend like following Jesus is like nothing. That it's just something, oh yeah, it's really easy. Jesus does all the work, doesn't ask anything of us. Sometimes we do that. We want to talk up how big grace is, that Jesus has saved us completely by what he's done. And that's true and real. And before God, it's everything of him and nothing of us. But in terms of what it means for us to follow Jesus, that's an all or nothing type commitment. We're either following him with our whole life, with every relationship we have, with every thought, with every purchase that we make, with every website we look at. We want to be committed to following Jesus every moment of the day. It's a big choice. And we want to help people understand that. We want to remember that. Following Jesus is a big commitment. And as we move on to the second point, defending choice, it's a big commitment, but there's only two options. It's a big decision, but it's only a choice between two. That's something we need to be clear about when we talk. There's only two options. Have a look with me again at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So Jesus is making it pretty clear, isn't it? There's two possible outcomes. Outcome A, condemned before God. Outcome B, saved, eternal life. There's two possible outcomes. There's a choice between those two. And what's the difference? What do you choose? Well, whether to believe in Jesus or whether to reject him. Whoever believes in him shall not perish. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already. That's the choice. In or out. There's no middle. There's no sitting on the fence. There's no gray bit. There's people that are kind of, I'm following Jesus a little bit. Thinking about following him on Monday afternoons. It's your in or out. And that's how relationships work, isn't it? You can't do a relationship part-time. You've got to be fully in or fully out. You can't be married just 3 days a week or just in certain areas of life. It's a full commitment. We want to be clear on that with people. We want to be helping them understand it's black and white. You're in or out. You're either accepting Jesus, believing, trusting in the things he says, relying on his death and resurrection for you, or you're not trusting that. The gospel is pretty clear. There's only these two options. And the reality is, when you talk to someone, they're already making one of those choices. They're already in one of those camps. Do you notice how it said in verse 17 that God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world? You know why Jesus didn't need to come and condemn the world? Because we were already all condemned. Do you remember the first three boxes? God made it. We rejected him and we're all condemned and facing death and judgment. Everyone. Jesus comes into the world to a condemned world and offers an alternative. And that's what the reality is when we're talking to people. When we're talking to people who aren't following Jesus, we're talking to people who are condemned before God. They usually don't know that. They aren't recognizing that. And that's part of what we try and help them understand. And so sometimes people will come up with lines like this: well, I believe everyone has to... I think there's some truth in this gospel you're saying, but I need to research some more options. What's that saying? That's saying, I'm not committing to Jesus. I'm not trusting in. I've heard some ideas, but I'm not trusting. Rejecting the Son. Or people say it, the kind of the subtle one, oh yeah, it sounds good, this eternal life. I can see how this logic can make sense, but I'll probably wait till I'm a bit older. When I get a bit more serious about life and when kind of like death, something I'm starting to think about, I'll get into that stuff then. That's just a subtle way of saying I'm rejecting Jesus. I'm rejecting Jesus. You know, the other one sometimes people say is, well, I believe everyone has to find their own path to God. Everyone's got to kind of get there themselves in the end. But if you remember what we read in John 14, Jesus is pretty clear. There's only one way to God, isn't he? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if you're talking to someone and they're committed to finding their own way that's outside of Jesus, they're choosing to reject him, aren't they? They're choosing to stay condemned before God. As we talk to people about this choice, we want to be making these things clear, helping them understand. You're either in or you're out. You're believing and trusting Jesus, trying to follow him, or you're rejecting him. You can't sit on the fence. It's confronting. It's confronting for people. It's confronting for us to talk about. Talking about someone's life. But this is the reality of the gospel. Confronting gospel. Well, what do we do with it? What do we do when we've got these ideas of commitment? We've got these ideas of choice. We know how it plays out. There's consequences. How do we put it together? Well, the last point, defending challenge. What do we need to do? We need to share the whole gospel. And we need to include all of it. Even the last step of challenging the person to believing. So, the last box of this gospel summary goes like this. It goes, well, after we've conveyed all the info, where does it leave us? Here's the summary. There's two ways to live. Choice. There's only two. There's our way, where we keep rejecting God as the ruler, and we keep trying to run our own life our way. What's the result? We're still condemned before God. And we're facing death and judgment. That's the first option. The other way is God's new way. That we submit to Jesus as our ruler. That we rely on his death and resurrection. And what's the result of that? We can be forgiven. Forgiven by God. We have eternal life. Now, even up to that much, I've just still shared the information. The challenge comes in the very last line. If you've read any booklets, it's the very last line of that page. Which is when you ask the person, which of these two ways best summarizes your life? Which of these ways is the way you're living? That's where it gets personal, where it gets to their life. And you don't need to accuse them and go, you are condemned, you're living the heathen way, that kind of thing. You let them answer it themselves. Let them respond and think about their life. Actually, to be honest, I'm living my own way. I'm not trusting in Jesus. If you can get people to the stage where they've thought through that, where they're being honest, that's a great point to be at. And they recognize that they're not choosing Jesus. And then the follow-up question is, well, which way do you want to be living? Because they can make the response. You don't have to stay in that way. You can switch over. You can join way B. You can submit to Jesus as your ruler. You can rely on his death and resurrection. You can be forgiven by God. You can receive the eternal life. Sometimes we'll get cut off before this point happens. Sometimes we'll get interrupted. Sometimes the person will want to end the conversation, they've just had enough. But too many times when I've done it, I've ended before getting to this point myself. I've chickened out, even as recently as yesterday, as I was talking with a couple that I was preparing for marriage and going through and sharing the gospel as, and particularly how it relates to marriage. And I was caught up in kind of talking about marriage, and partly I was just feeling a bit awkward about it and didn't get to the point where I said, where do you sit? It's hard. But it is important that we call people to respond to Jesus, just like he called people to respond to him. And we want to be people who defend the gospel well. And we want to be people who defend it well by explaining the truth and by faithfully calling people to respond. Well, one last thing as we finish, as we conclude this walk through the gospel, thinking about how important it is, these truths, I'm aware that maybe you've been hearing this and understanding this message maybe for the first time. Maybe it's just clicked for you. Maybe you've known these truths, these facts, but you've never made that decision to own it for yourself. You've never made that decision to respond to Jesus. You need to be honest with yourself. Which of the two ways have you been living? All of us in the room are either one or the other. And if you recognize that you've been living that first way, rejecting God, rejecting Jesus, still facing condemnation, is that the way you want to continue? Well, if you want to accept God's new way, if you want to take hold of that by believing in Jesus or relying on his death and resurrection, well, that's the best decision you can ever make. It's the biggest decision, but it's the best. And I want to invite you to express this decision right now by telling God about it. Now, we've got a prayer. Then I'm going to invite everyone, all of us, to pray together. This is a prayer that's just remembering that truth. The truth of the gospel, that we don't deserve God's love. We don't deserve the gift of eternal life. And that we're guilty before him. But that there's hope in Jesus. So we say thanks to God for sending Jesus. And we ask him to forgive us. And change us and help us to live following Jesus. I want to finish by praying this together. I want to invite you to pray it, everyone, out loud. But particularly if this is the first time that you've really thought through that decision? The first time you've prayed this prayer seriously? Then I'd love you to come up and chat to me afterwards. Just let me know, because it's exciting, and it's hard work following Jesus. We want to help you out. But please join me. Let's pray together. Dear God, I know that I don't deserve your love or your gift of eternal life. I am guilty of rejecting you and trying to rule life my own way. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die in my place and rise to new life. Please forgive me and change me. Help me to live trusting in Jesus as my ruler. Amen.